Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
Cool. Well, good morning and welcome to Life Change Church as we are in the middle of our summertime series entitled Stories. And let me just tell you, it's a couple things that we got going on for summer. I'll just let you know, July is going to be a big month. Life Change. We've got a lot of things rolling, starting off with the July 4th parade, which is coming up not this Tuesday, but the Tuesday after. So July 4th, the actual date of July 4th, we are going to go to Granville and we're going to be a part of their July 4th parade. So it's going to be an incredible time. We're excited about that. So hopefully you are with us. We're going to meet at Wildwood Park at 9:30 in the morning. So we're going to meet there. We're going to have a float where we're going to pass out 1,500 Frisbees. We're going to pass out candy. And really, it's just a great time. So I'll challenge you to bring your family. It's a family event. The parade actually starts a little later, so I will warn you this. When you get there, we will stand around for a long time. So plan on standing around and just hanging out and having fun as a church family. So we'll have some time really to connect with each other. And then once the parade rolls, then it's on. We're going to pass out all these things to Granville. We're going to show them the love of Jesus. So challenge you to mark that on your calendars, July 4th at 9:30. And we do have t-shirts that are coming. So if you need a t-shirt, I think we're going to be $10. You can get with Sarah for that. We'll have a number of them. Hopefully, they will be here next Sunday. So if you've already ordered one, you can pick one up. If you haven't ordered one, you can get one next Sunday. And they do look pretty cool. So challenge you for that. And then also, a couple of other things coming up. Student life. It's the month for student life. There is student life tonight at 5 p.m., but also this month on July 21st through July 23rd, they are going with a camping trip. So students 6th through 12th grade, they will be here. They'll arrive on Friday at 3:30 on Friday, and they're leaving by 4 p.m. that Friday, and they're going to return on Sunday morning about 11 o'clock. There's pickup. You can pick up the registration and all the forms and all the those nice little disclosure forms. You can pick those up at the Connect desk. So challenge you to do that. Go with a student from 6th through 12th grade. Camp July 21st through the 23rd. And then also in July, a bunch of stuff going on, but July 31st, we're actually going to take like Life Change on the road. So we are actually not going to meet here July 31st Sunday. We're going to condense and we're going to do one big service Sunday, July 31st at 10:30, and we're going to take it to Velvet Ice Cream. So at 10:30, we're going to be at Velvet Ice Cream in their Shelter House B. I think it's their biggest one. We're going to cram in there. As many people as we get in there are going to do kind of a small service, hear some testimonies, and then we're going to move from there, and we're going to go to the river right behind Velvet, and we're actually going to do baptisms in the river. It's going to be a blast. We're going to celebrate with some people who've made a decision to follow Jesus. And if you haven't been baptized and you want to be baptized, and you're one of those people that want to be baptized outside, right, this is your opportunity. So you can me, get with me, tell me about it, text me, whatever, talk to me after service, say, hey, I want to get baptized in the river. I'll get you on the list, and we can make that happen so that we can celebrate your commitment to Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So it's going to be a fun time. Again, that's July 31st, 10:30 at Velvet Ice Cream. And the word on the street is kids 12 and under may get a free ice cream cone, right? For you guys, you're all like, well, that stinks. But the kids' life is going to go crazy about it, right? So free ice cream for kids 12 and under that day as well. And then after that service, we're going to do a giant picnic at Velvet Ice Cream. So it'll kind of be a potluck. Just hang out with everybody, and we'll be a blast, and we'll just stay there as long as we want. So we have it all day long. So we'll be rocking with that too. And then a reminder tonight, there is prayer at 6 p.m. But that's all the announcements. Again, July is going to be a crazy month. Lots of things going on. So make sure you mark your calendars. Tons of ways to connect. But today, we're in the middle of this series entitled Stories. And what we've been doing is really listening to some of these incredible stories of faith. Last week, if you missed it, I had the incredible honor to talk with my dad on Father's Day, and we talked about his life of faith. And it was really pretty cool for me. I've learned some things that I didn't necessarily know about him. So if you missed it, you can always go back. You can check that out at our website at www.mylifechangedchurch.com. But through this series, we're going to hear a couple different stories. We're going to hear some life stories, but we're also going to hear some stories from within the Bible. So you heard when you were like a little kid in Sunday school or vacation Bible school, some of these stories of these really heroes in the Bible. And what we're doing is we're really looking at these stories to help encourage you to live your life of faith a little more, right? So I challenge you to come every Sunday. Make a commitment to come each Sunday because it's going to challenge you to walk your life of faith with Jesus out a little bit more. But it's also going to encourage others. So if you have friends or family that don't know Jesus, I would challenge you to bring them to church. Like, this is going to be a great series really to connect with them because everybody has a story, right? And everybody can connect with somebody else's story, which is what it's all about. And really our main thing throughout this series and what we've been learning and what I want you to walk away with is this, is that faith unlocks a legacy. Faith unlocks a legacy. And this principle, this really main thought, is coming from our memory verse, which is in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. So again, if you have your Bibles, go there with me. If you've already memorized it, just bravo to you, right? I would tell you the Student Life people, they are doing a challenge throughout this summer, and they get like mad points for memorizing Scripture. I don't know if we can do that with the adults. We can get a point system. But if you memorize this, listen, I will give you points. Just tell me about it. You automatically get 500 points. What that's applied to in the adult world service, I don't know. But you get 500 points if you memorize this, right? But Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 through 2. If you have your Bible, go there with me. If you don't have a Bible, we always challenge you to download the YouVersion Bible app. Incredible resource. There's reading plans where you can read your Bible every day and actually notifies you. Love it. For me, it's like one of the things I do when I wake up. I can read my Bible, and it's right there on my phone. I think we're probably all addicted to our phones a little bit anyways. But if we're addicted to it, why don't we put a good resource in front of it and in our phone for that purpose? But it is chapter 11 and verses 1 through 2, and it says this. It says, faith means being sure of the things we hope for and knowing that something is real, even if we do not see it. Faith is the reason we remember great people who lived in the past. If you look at it, Hebrews chapter 11, it's this passage of Scripture that talks about all these heroes of faith. But these two verses really break down exactly how they got there, right? It talks about that the fact that the reason they had faith is the reason we remember them. It's the reason that they're even considered heroes. It's the reason we're talking about them today. Because the truth is, faith unlocks a legacy. And today we're going to learn a little bit about the legacy of a guy named Abel. So if you go further into Hebrews chapter 11, if you go to verse 4, it talks a little bit about him. Hebrews 11, 4 says this. It says, by faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he's dead. By faith, this guy named Abel created a legacy, right? By faith, this guy named Abel was able to do these great things. By faith, this guy named Abel offered a better offering. By faith, this guy named Abel was commended as righteous. And by faith, this guy named Abel was able to speak even after he's dead. Somebody today asked me, he's like, so are we interviewing Abel, right? Yeah, we are, because he actually speaks after he's dead, right? It unlocked, his faith unlocked that legacy, and that's what faith does. It unlocks a legacy. But if you think about it, who is this guy named Abel, right? Let's dig a little bit deeper into this story, and it actually goes all the way back to the first book in the Bible, which is Genesis. So if you want to, you can flip back to that. Again, it's the first book of the Bible, and today we're going to spend some time in chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. We'll start off here. Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. It says this. It says, Adam made love to his wife Eve, and she became pregnant, and gave birth to Cain. She said, with the help of the Lord, I've brought forth a man. Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept the flocks, and Cain worked the soil. If you look at Abel's story, right, started off really just like every one of us. Like, we can all kind of relate to Abel, right? He was born. I'm willing to say that 100% of the people in this room right now, you were born, right? All of us were. His parents had a baby, like boy meets girl, girl meets man. They made a little love, they got down one night, and then they had a baby. And it was a boy. Like, that's kind of how it all started. If you look at really the only difference between Abel and us is the fact that Abel's parents really didn't have too many choices. Like, it was Adam and Eve. Like, they were stuck with each other. And if you look at Abel, though, he also had a sibling. And I think, like many of us, Abel had the sibling. So just by a show of hands, how many of you have a sibling? So most of us have a sibling. Now, keep your hands up. If you have an older sibling, raise your hand, right? Now, if you have an older brother, raise your hand. All right, so some of you guys who have an older brother, you know exactly how Abel feels, right? There's a certain, like, kind of different feeling you have when you have an older brother. There's a certain kind of feeling you have when you have an older sibling, or just a sibling in general. Now, I don't have an older brother, but I do have an older sibling. Many of you guys know that Kendi, who's our Kids Life Director, she's actually my sister. Most of you guys think she's younger than me, which makes me feel weird. I guess age terrible, but that's all right. She is my older sister. She's not here today. So I don't want her out. I do claim her, right? She is actually my sister. But what's funny about this is, like, some of you guys probably didn't know this. In fact, like a year ago, Corey, right here, who plays guitar up there, Kendi said something about, yeah, my brother is doing this or whatever. And she was talking to Corey about it. And Corey's like, yeah, your brother in Christ, right? And Kendi's like, what? No, my brother. Like, Corbin is my brother. You understand that, right? And what's funny about this is, like, Corey for like 10 years. Kendi had known Corey for probably like 3 years at this point, too. Kendi and I do a really good job of, like, keeping it under wraps. Like, it really started, like, way back when we were younger. Like, I'm talking, like, when she was a senior in high school and I was a freshman in high school, my parents were great parents. They didn't want to drive me to school, so they made my sister drive me because she had a car. Made sense, right? We had this rule. We weren't allowed to walk into school together. It was kind of this unwritten rule between both my sister and myself. Like, obviously, she didn't want people to know that she had this dorky younger brother. And then I didn't want people to know that I had this sister who was, like, she was kind of intense with schoolwork and really, really smart. So when people would see me walk with her, all of a sudden they would probably compare me to her. And let me just say, there was no comparison. And it's kind of what went on, right? There's through this kind of older sister, younger brother, this kind of sibling relationship, there's always this kind of comparison that goes on, right? There's this kind of competition. See, for Kendi, she was always smarter. So I always, like, tried not to kind of fall under her because I would always fall short. There was teachers that, you're Kendi's little brother. Yeah, you must be smart. And then a week into class, they're like, oh, you're Kendi's little brother. I'm like, oh, couldn't do it, right? And then for her, like, she thought I got away with everything. Now, most older siblings probably think their younger siblings get away with everything, right? But she thought people took it easy on me. And but really what was is that we were just different. And siblings are often just different. And it's a weird place to be because you're comparing yourself to each other. There's this comparison and this competition going on. It's a weird dynamic. And it can even be awkward. And if you look at it, this is really where Cain and Abel were. They kind of had this comparison going on between each other. They kind of had competition going on between them. But if you look at it, they were very different. In fact, it says that the task that they were even responsible for, right? It says Cain was in charge of the crops and he worked the soil, whereas Abel was in charge of the animal and he kept the flocks. But Abel was kind of able to overcome this weird dynamic by really focusing in on what God wanted him to do. But Cain, however, took a little bit of a different path. So we continue on here in verse 3. You can check this out here. Verse 3 says this: in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. And the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. But on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. Now, as you read this, this may seem kind of crazy, right? You may be thinking, like, well, they both brought an offering, right? They both brought stuff to God, so what's the difference? Like, what's the big deal? Why are we even talking about this? Why is Abel's offering, why is it looked upon with favor, right? But if you look at it, Abel, what he gave, it was given in faith. A little bit, we're going to talk a little more about this, but Abel gave the fat portions. He gave some of the firstborn of his flock, right? To give that, it took faith. Abel gave his very best, whereas Cain gave what he thought was just enough. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, we kind of fall where Cain is, right? I think sometimes we are tempted with just enough. We're tempted to give just enough. We say, you know what, I'll spend just enough time with them so they feel loved, like so they feel like I care, right? I'll just give just enough to cover the cost of this or that, right? I'll save just enough to get by. I'll say just enough to be noticed, right? I'll do just enough. But I think what we can learn from the story is that just enough is the enemy of faith. Just enough is the enemy of faith. And too many times we miss out. We miss out on leaving a legacy because of just enough. This just enough is the roadblock to better. Just enough is slamming the door shut on the best, and it's opening the door to sin. And God wants what's best in our lives. And he wants the best from us as well. He wants to live life out of faith with more than just enough, but with the very best, right? But too many times I think we give just enough and we're missing out. That's why it says that God did not look on favor with Cain's offering. When we're giving just enough, we're not pleasing to God, right? When God asks for all and we give just enough, what it really is, it's disobedience. It's sin. And sin always leads to more sin and more sin and more sin. You can check this out, and this is exactly what Cain went through. We continue here in verse 5. It says, "So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it.' Now Cain said to his brother Abel, 'Let's go out to the field.' While they are in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. And then the Lord said to Cain, 'Where's your brother Abel?' 'I don't know,' he replied. 'Am I my brother's keeper?'" If you look at it, Cain's just enough led to anger. Cain's just enough led to downcast. Cain's just enough led to the murder, right? Cain's just enough led to lying. Cain's just enough really led to him almost talking back to God. If you look at it, though, it never had to be that way. It says, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? Cain really had another chance. Like, he had another opportunity, but he fell into that trap. He fell into that trap of comparison. He fell into that trap of really just enough. And he led to his anger, it led to his downcast, it led to him lying, and it led to his murder. Because sin was crouching at his door. The truth is, sin is crouching at all of our doors, right? It's crouching at all those doors, and it's waiting for us not to act in faith. It's waiting for us to act in just. I mean, think about it. Think about how maybe you responded with just enough instead of faith, and what it led to. Probably led to anger, right? And think about when you reacted with just enough or just enough instead of faith. It probably led to you feeling downcast. It probably led to you feeling just completely down about yourself, right? It probably led to sin. It probably led to lying. Hopefully, it didn't lead to murder, but I'm just saying, this is the door. It opens the door because sin is crouching at the door, and it leads to more sin. It leads to more destruction. You look at it, that's the struggle we all live in, right? And what's funny is when we even live out in faith, it even becomes stronger. Because all of a sudden, that anger that other people have, it's pointed towards us. That downcast is pointed towards us. Oftentimes, when we live a life of faith, others look at us with ridicule, with shame and hatred even. Living a life of faith is not easy. Living a life of faith doesn't always result in immediate blessing either. I mean, if you look at the result of Abel, right? Let's look at this. It says he was led out into a field where he was attacked and killed. He was attacked and killed by his brother, the one closest to him. Like, you read that and you walk away super encouraged. Yeah, I'm going to live a life of faith. I can walk out in the field and get attacked and murdered. No, it's a little crazy. When we live a life of faith, it's a hard thing to do. But when we live a life of faith, we need to understand we live in such a way where we understand that God is always in control. Continue on here in verse 10. It says, "The Lord said, 'What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground.'" God's talking to Cain here. He says, "What have you done?" But Abel's blood was crying out to the Lord from the ground. Again, if you remember in Hebrews 11:4, it says Abel still speaks even though he's dead, right? That's the result of faith. That's the legacy. And think about that in your life. Imagine if your actions spoke louder than your words. Imagine even this. Imagine if your memory spoke louder than your presence. When I think about it, that's the legacy I want to leave, right? That's what I want people to remember. I want people, my memory, to be louder than my presence ever was, because that's the result of faith. Faith unlocks that legacy. And not only allows God to do that, it allows God to work in and through our lives when we live it out. Finish this up here in verses 11 and 12. God's talking to Cain here, and it says this. It says, "Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." Cain was cursed because of this. He would no longer prosper, right? The ground would no longer yield him crops. He would become restless on the earth. Like, talk about this word. Like, talk about a mic drop. Here's God, and he's the one who would become victorious regardless of it. Listen, when we respond and we live out in faith, this is what we can understand. We can know that God will always be our vindicator, not us. we can know that God will always be the rescuer, not us. Let me just tell you, He's better at those things than we ever could be. If you look at the life of Abel, his faith led to his legacy. His faith led to his vindication. His faith led to the favor that he had with God. And our faith can do the same thing. Think about your life. Maybe for you, maybe that means that you no longer have to hold a grudge because you can understand that God is in control. Maybe for you, maybe that means you no longer have to worry about and wonder about your value and how you add up because you can know that you have the favor of God if you're living a life of faith. Maybe for you, that means you no longer have to doubt your significance because your faith will leave a legacy. Think about that. What does that look like? Maybe it's forgiveness. Maybe it's forgiveness for the sake of not forgiving the offender, but for the freedom that you receive through forgiveness. Maybe it looks like peace instead of this intense anxiety. Maybe for you, that looks like self-esteem instead of this lack of self-esteem. Maybe it looks like confidence, but that's what we can gain through faith. Again, Hebrews 11:4, it says, by faith he was commended. When God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith Abel still speaks even though he's dead. Think about this. Imagine being commended righteous. Listen, we are made righteous through Christ. That's the reason, right? When we have faith in Christ, when we have faith in the fact that he lived a perfect life for each and every one of us, when we have faith in the fact that he died on a cross for the penalty that we all deserve, and not only that, he was risen. He was risen again to give us new life, to make us righteous. When we have faith in that, that's what we are. We're commended as righteous. We're spoken of because of what Jesus did for each and every one of us. What if we live that out? What if instead of being dead, we had influence and we were still speaking? That's what legacy is, and that's what faith does. Faith unlocks a legacy. And we can learn from Abel really how to make this happen in our lives. To live this out, we must follow his example. Not Cain's, but we must follow the example of Abel. And again, Genesis 4:4, this is what Abel did. It says, and Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. His faith was shown through his offering. His faith was shown through what he gave, right? In fact, I think we can learn from Abel just that. How we give displays our faith. Again, Cain gave, but if you look at Cain, what did he give? He gave out of a process, this heart process, this thought process of competition. He gave out of this heart and thought process of just enough. But Abel gave from a heart of faith. And to experience this legacy, we must do the same. Meaning this, to live this out, we must give. So number one, your number one action step of what to apply this week is to give your best. That's what faith means. Faith means giving your best. If you look at it, Abel gave the fat portions of some of his flock. The fat portions are really known as the best part. Are the part that you would serve like at a banquet or like a very special event, like a special dinner. The fat portion is like, that's like going to Ruth's and ordering the best steak on the menu. Like that's the portion that Abel was giving to God, right? That's the choicest part of the meat. It's the very best. And this is what Abel gave. Think about in your life. Are you giving God your very best? Or are you just giving your leftovers? Think about it. Think about even your time, your days, right? Are you giving him the part of your day? Are you giving him the best part of your time? Are you giving him the part where you really function the best? We need to give that part to God. Listen, don't pray when you're completely exhausted and just about to fall asleep. Don't just read the Bible when you're completely exhausted and about ready to fall asleep and not sinking in. But pray and read at the peak. Be with him, right? Be alert. Be clear. Don't just say for just enough in your time with God. But instead, give your best. Give your best time to God. Give the best part of your day to God. Think about your finances. Even with our finances, we give our best to God. Are you giving the best part of your finances to God? Are you giving back? Are you giving your finances and the best part of it? It's an act of faith. And when I say the best, I'm not just talking about the leftovers. I'm talking about what we actually plan to give. Not like, oh, I got a couple extra bucks. Here you go. No, we plan to give. To do that, we have to make it a part of our budget, right? Budget giving to the church. Budget helping others. Budget maybe even like paying for somebody's groceries once. however, wherever you are in your finances, you know, but plan to give and give it your best, right? Give the best in your finances. Also, give the best in your abilities. If you sat down and really asked yourselves, are you giving the best of your abilities? Give your best in your abilities. And listen, I want to challenge you to serve. I want to challenge you to give your best in that area. And if you're not serving at church, listen, we have opportunities all the time. There takes a lot of people to make something happen, like to make a Sunday morning service, not just the 9 o'clock, but also the 10:30, right? It takes a lot of people to make this happen, and every one of these serving opportunities are probably the most important portion of the church, right? Because every one of those opportunities, somebody sees and connects with. The fact that we have people at the edge of the driveway waving and smiling, listen, people have even driven in because of that, because it makes that much of a difference. So if you're not serving, I want to challenge you to sign up today. We have sign-up applications at the Connect Desk, and you can do that today. But give yourself and give your best. Give your talents. Give your talents to the church. Give your talents to this community as well. Make this community of Newark better by what we give to it, right? In your workplace, use your abilities your best. Give your best in the workplace. Listen, Christians, if we call ourselves a follower of Christ, we should be known as the hardest and best workers in our workplace. Give your best in your workplace. And then not only that, give God the credit for the things that He allows you to achieve in your workplace. Give Him the best of your abilities. And we need to give Him our best thoughts too. Listen, our thought life can make or break us. We need to give Him our best on our thoughts. We need to have our mind clear when we're focusing in on Him. Instead of having all these other things, right? Instead of being clouded up and just going through the motions, we need to clear our minds and think good thoughts. We need to think God thoughts too. We need to ask Him to be a part of our thought life. We need to give our best to Him in that area. And the last one I want to hit is we need to give our physical bodies. We need to give the best of our physical bodies. And this can be a tough one, but let me ask you, are you giving your best when it comes to your physical body? Are you physically where you need to be? This is a tough one because if I were to answer this, I'm going to have to say no. I have some work to do. I'm not offering the best of myself to God. Like, I'm physically a little bit out of shape, but there's some things I can work on, right? There's some things I can do, and so can you. In 1 Corinthians 19 through 20, it says, you should know that your body is a temple for the Holy Spirit who is in you. You receive the Holy Spirit from God, so you do not belong to yourselves, because you were bought by God for a price. So honor God with your bodies. For some of us, this means that we need to work out. We need to pick some type of workout regimen, and we need to stick to it, right? Maybe for you, that means walking. Listen, if you're not a walker, you don't like walking, guess what you need to do? You need to start and you need to stick to it. It may just be short, it may be to your mailbox and back, right? It may be to the light pole down the street and back. But do that and stick to it and then go to the next light pole. That's how you start running. Even when you start to run, like I remember I was completely out of shape when I started to run. But the first thing I did, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go down to that mailbox. I'm going to go back. The next day, I went a little further. And I continued to go a little further. But I had to stick to it. Stick to exercising, right? Maybe for you that means eating better. Maybe for you that like means planning your meals out, watching your portions, even like eating the right things, even tracking what you eat. This past week, I actually got back on an app that I used to use, but it's called MyFitnessPal. You can actually like track everything you eat. It shows your calories. Sometimes it's a little depressing of how much I eat sometimes, but it tracks it. And let me just tell you, when I'm tracking it, I'm way more aware of what I'm actually eating. I would challenge you to do something like that as well. And that really, to present our best in our physical bodies, we need to rest as well. We need to rest. Listen, don't abuse your bodies, right? Don't abuse your body without resting properly and say, here, God, I'm exhausted, I'm drained, but here's what's left. Here, use me. I'm barely even walking. I'm so tired. I haven't slept enough. I haven't even taken a day off for months, but here I am. No. Rest. Go to bed earlier. Listen, if you have trouble falling asleep, maybe take a warm bath before you go to do something that helps you fall asleep. And also, take a day off. Listen, I made a commitment to take every single Friday off every week just for the sole purpose of resting so that I can give my best to God. Rest. Give your best to Him physically. Give your best to Him. It's an act of faith, and it's a way to live out your faith so that you can leave a legacy. To live a life of faith also, we must give our first. Number two, give your first. Giving your first, it really requires trust, right? Again, this is an action of faith. If you look at Abraham, firstborn of his flock. The significance of this is that he had the trust that he had in God. Listen, to give your firstborn, it really meant that you were giving the one that really provided for the next to come, right? That's what really provided. So really, when he gave his first, he was saying, God, you know what? I trust you. I trust you that you will provide more. I trust that you will be the provisionary for my life. Think about that. Are you giving first? Are you giving that first portion of your time, knowing that you're not going to get it back, but rather trusting God to provide? Maybe for you, that means waking up a little earlier just to spend time with him. Maybe for you, that means making that commitment to come to church every single Sunday, right? Because that's the first part of your week, and you're giving it back. You're giving it to him, right? That's the first portion. Maybe for you, even looking in the future, maybe at the beginning of the month, make some goals. Maybe you need to allow God to be a part of that goal process, right? Maybe for you, even at the beginning of the year, you spend some time alone with God, asking him to really to guide your year, right? Are you giving the first of your time? Are you giving the first of your finances? Listen, do you give before you pay your bills? Do you give before you save? Do you give before you spend money, right? Listen, now we budget our giving, Sarah and I do. One of the first checks we cut is our giving check. Even though it's budgeted, it's going to be there, right? We cut our giving check first. And it's kind of this weird, my wife has a crazy mentality about it because, like, if we don't give first, all of a sudden we just feel like, man, we're missing out on really giving our first portion. And it's something we did years back, but it makes a difference because mentally, you are even giving first. Like, that's the first check we cut. And it feels like that's that act of faith that God is asking for. Are you giving first? Are you giving the first part of your energy to God? Right? Or are you coming to him completely burnt out and tired? Listen, give him your first. And to do that does require planning. But more importantly, it requires trust. And that's what God is asking of us. He's asking us to trust and to live this life of faith. And to live this life of faith and to be all in. Because just enough is the enemy of faith. My challenge for you is to not live a life of just enough. Don't give just enough, but instead give your best and give your first. Live a life like Abel did. Because faith unlocks a legacy. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, we thank you right now. God, we thank you for speaking to us. God, we thank you for challenging us in our walk of faith with you. We thank you for challenging us in our walk of faith, in our faith in Jesus Christ, that we can live it out every single day and that we can give our very best. That we don't live a life of just enough, but we live a life of giving our best and our first to you. That way we can leave a legacy for years to come. God, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for the stories, God, that we can follow through with, God, so that we can leave a story of our own as well. And we can leave a story that always points to glorifying you. God, we love you and we thank you. Give us to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you were here today and you were listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangechurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.